Hello, this is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
What is it you want to know about mugs anyway?
What you, I don't know, like what you think about them. Like why did you choose that mug?
It's the shape is correct, but in fact it's inferior because it's thick. It's very disappointing. I go, that's the mug, that's the right size.
Is it your favourite mug?
No, it isn't. I just explained it's not my favourite mug, it's too thick.
Oh, okay.
The shape is correct. The amount that you can get in it is correct, and I haven't quite put enough in.
Do you get protective about your favourite mug? Like if somebody else is using your favourite mug, do you get uncomfortable?
No, I do try and get in first if I can. But the mug that I think is very pretty, I have hoarded in my room.
Favourite mugs. I used to really like this slightly oversized blue and white striped mug, which was just the perfect amount of tea in the morning just to get you going. Sadly, got then replaced with a sports company's massive, huge thing, which was always too much and ended up being cold by the time you kind of got to the end of it. So sort of like, sadly, I never saw my blue and white mug again. It disappeared into the ether. I had a bit of a holiday romance with it about for 3 weeks, and gone. That was about 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, I haven't recovered.
When I go out to get a coffee, or whatever, on the rare occasions, which I don't get coffee, I get chai latte, and I'm drinking it left-handed, so I know that my mouth is touching the other side. That's rarely, or I don't know how many percent, 10% people left-handed, so I feel a little bit safer. But I play all my sweats right-handed, but I definitely know I drink my mugs with my left hand. I don't know why I know that, but I really just always like to pick with my left hand. But it does seem like you can be kissing the previous person that in some way.
Yeah, there are two like this. Like say one's got like green and little pictures on. All the way round, quite soft colours that I prefer over plain, but I like the style. The dancing pigs. I don't know, maybe I've got a thing about pigs. This one's got pigs on as well. And there's another one that's really dark, black, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's meant to be black humour or if it's really dark, but it's got some about death or something. It's awful. It's like, who would buy that and why would you buy it and why would you drink out of it?
This is my gluttonous mug. So I like this one if I need a massive drink. If I've been neglecting my basic needs, then I have this mug. Other favourites is this one that you've been hoarding at the caravan with the little sun on. And I like these ones. But, you know, there's like we've got a little series of ones like this, and they're all the ones that are more of a teardrop shape. Those are my favourites, I would say.
There was two, one with a donkey and one with a pig. At the moment I saw them both, I fell in love. And I said that at least one was going to be mine. But they keep disappearing, so they only appear every 2 weeks or so. So I try to hide them, but they never last that much because I'm not good on hiding. I use it, I wash it, and I put it in the cupboard back. But somebody knows that is my special place already, so they take it from there. And they also hide them, but I also know their special place. And the other person also knows that I use the mug. We love each other, we share the mug. We don't know who is, I don't know who this person is.
There's just a way higher degree of possibilities and uncertainty, you know, like in your own house, you leave a mug on the shelf for an hour, and it's 99% likely or more that that mug was there the whole time. And community, even if the mug was back, a million different things could have happened to that mug in that time, you know? And not just drinking out of it. You know, and mugs can go missing like really easily. So I like that white one, or I like that white one. And you wash it up and you put it back, and it goes somewhere else really soon.
Yeah, so there are a number of mugs here which were or are my mugs. Some of them came from places where I've lived and I didn't sort of need them here, so I just put them in the braziers pile. There was one that was a gift to me from someone, so I used to look after it quite jealously, but I don't know where it's gone now. Sometimes I found mugs. I found quite a pretty porcelain mug in the shape of a football, and I like football, so I used that one regularly for a bit, but then it disappeared again. And there was quite a nice one with butterflies that somebody had abandoned at the front gate, which I took in and washed.
And there's still one or two of those surviving. I see them occasionally. I got 10 yellow and 10 orange and 10 blue, and there's still a few of them around. 20 years ago. No, 15 years ago. So I'm surprised they've lived that long. I don't know the origin of any of these mugs I see in front of me. I don't know who last brought in mugs, where they came from. No. But they do seem to slowly get replenished, randomly, by odd mugs.
It's almost like a big exchange, and Chris and I joke about the stuff vortex and the idea that things materialise sometimes at braziers with a ping, something you haven't seen for years, and suddenly it's there. Where did it come from? It just came into being. Bing! And in the same way, things sometimes dematerialise when we're not looking, and then they can't be found. So, yes, we almost do play with this sense that things are coming in and out of existence here.
Where do they come from? It's Terry Pratchett land, really. Just things appear. That's a question that I have asked here for many a year. Where do the bloody mugs come from? Because, you know, I am accustomed to them. And then it is not unusual for another one to appear. You don't know where it comes from, who provided it, why it's there. Was it a volunteer moving back and didn't want to carry a mug through customs? You know, just where does it come from? Where does it come from? They cycle around. It's like you can look in the cupboard and there aren't any mugs. So where are all they? And then a note goes up on the board, mug amnesty. And then all of a sudden we got three trays worth.
The flow of mugs through braziers is very random, and I do not know where most of our mugs come from. We sometimes end up with mugs that seem to have the most inappropriate logos on. They say things like Nestle or BAE systems or stuff, and it's like, are we terribly involved with arms manufacturers? But evidently we are at some level. And they say things like world's best grandma as well, so I don't know where they come from.
I quite like the idea of that what language we use, whether it's written or whether we speak it, affects the water and the so if you're always thinking negative thoughts and horrible words, or speaking them, or have them written on your cup that you're drinking from, that will affect the quality of the benefit of the liquid. Emoto's the guy from Japan that spoke underwater and made crystals and then photographed the crystals. I think it's been discredited, but I like to hold the thought.
We had a whole lot advertising working from home that Jackie brought, and she said she'd been storing them somewhere where her goats were, but her goats ate all the cardboard they were stored in.
Just choose a mug that I like or I can live with. But there's some there. Hello Kitty one? Oh, no. That's just dastardly, that is.
I don't mind this. Yeah, I like this one just because it's simple. I know it's mass-produced, but I still like it. I do think about which mug I want and what it looks like, not just the size and the thickness, but I think about the what's pleasant to look at or have when I'm drinking from it. There's probably like a dozen that I see and I never choose them. And then the rest, I'm okay, that's not a bad one.
After I left the church, I got exposed to a lot of random ideas, and one of them was this idea that words change the structure of the water molecules in water, which I don't believe really. I've looked at the science and it seems not possible, and at least not scientific. Yet, when I have a mug that has, you know, like cancer research on it, or what does that mug say, like RA, it has someone's initials, or anyways, I tend to think, oh, is the writing gonna influence my drink? And just to be safe, I like the white, the all white. I don't really believe it, but like it's in my mind still, it always comes up. It's like, you're the best dad is on my mug, and it's like, well, I'm drinking it, so, and I'm seeing it, so it definitely is affecting me. It's bringing my attention to being a father and being trying to be the best father, and someone was the best father. Well, and who was the best father at Brazier's, blah blah blah. So, but whether or not it's affecting my drink, I don't know.
And then I almost always choose that if it is in circulation. There's just lots of memories tied up with it. It's got meaning.
Why did you choose to put it with the other mugs?
Yeah, why didn't I just... Oh my God, it's got a chip in the bottom. I've just seen all these chips. See, this is interesting. Those chips, I don't think those chips were there. Just noticing that right now. I don't feel sad about it. If it broke, I don't think I'd feel especially sad. I just think, oh, it's been used. That's good. Why did I choose to put it in? Maybe as a talking point.
And then I have like really strong rejection towards ones like this that are some sort of advertising mug for insurance companies or stuff like that. So I feel like it somehow influences me and other people and what I'm drinking. I've got a whole thing about it, like the consciousness that it brings to the drink or something. So I usually avoid those mugs.
What's the consciousness that that one brings?
I don't know. I wish I hadn't said that now. I knew you were going to question me more about that. Well, do you know, actually, so this mug, I don't know if there was any shared reality to it, but I felt hyper aware of not eating too much food, not having too much of anything. And so when I would make tea in this mug, I was really aware of how much oat milk I would put in because it's a big mug of tea. And actually, it's just like having two mugs of tea, which isn't a big deal. But I would like have this drink and I'd walk around and I would just think everyone was judging me, and that because I was holding a large mug that's got the word piglet on it, that they were like, pig, kind of thing. And it took ages, and I was so self-conscious for ages. But I don't care about that now. It more comes from, as I say, like this place of, I'm just thirsty, so just like massive drink.
Yeah, and I was just looking inside and seeing all the little scratches, kind of like scars of the past uses. And it reminded me of this yogi I heard giving a talk and saying that everything has memory, and was really talking about how the body has memory. And, you know, like after I stand up from these cushions, there'll be the indentation of my bum somewhat on them for a while, and then the little tiny pieces of my white trousers on them for a while that we can't see.
Sharing is an important part of being in community. Um, it doesn't worry me at all. I share lots of things, especially tools. I used to share a lot. And if something of mine goes missing, I just take that as a normal situation, you know. I don't make a song and dance about it. It just happens, and I have a lot of tools which are still in the garden cottage entrance, back entrance, and when I stopped working, I used to do a lot of maintenance work and building work, and when I stopped doing that because of my age, I thought that people, well, I was happy that people would borrow the tools and carry on where I left off. And I thought the shared group of tools would gradually diminish and have to be replaced. But what I found was that it actually increased. It didn't get less, it got more. People added to it.
So, yeah. What we are doing challenges the status quo in a kind of very gentle way, but very gentle, but actually quite radical. And that is something I think Brasios does do fairly well. It is radical in quite a soft way. So people can interpret that widely, but nonetheless, what is being asked of people is quite large.
But I generally bring the popular mugs back, which I feel proud of myself, because I feel like that's a new behaviour that's a communal behaviour to know that, like, this mug's a popular mug, so I wouldn't just keep it for me. The different mugs become popular at different times. Do you notice this? The spotty mugs have become popular, I notice. The red and white spotty mugs. And I don't know where they came from, because they're distinctive. They're a new introduction. Those are the ones I'm aware of. I think the ones with half circles around as a pattern. I've seen a few people with that. And that Tigger mug's, that's quite a popular mug, because it's another huge one as well. I don't know where that is. That one gets hoarded all the time. I notice that one's rarely there.
And actually, I have my judgment or prejudgment about people when they don't share or they don't put things to share. Yeah, I like, this person is really weird when they don't put things to share. Like, weird. There's people that if they are their shoes, they never put them in the... I mean... Lots of people, you have your shoes and you take it to your room. But lots of people, they put all the shoes there so anybody can use them. Lots of people here feel weird, but for me, like, yeah. It's just that you see two kinds of people. People that feel weird and people who doesn't feel weird. Every shoe fits me because I'm small. So many times I just walk with really, really huge shoes around the house and go to the kitchen with really huge, especially when I'm in a hurry. I just take any pair and just wear them. The only shoes that I brought was a pair of sandals. You know, the other shoes, I found them here. Oh, it was a gift for my friends. But I arrived without shoes. Yeah, and I have like 5 pair of boots now that I'm using, and people think they are mine, but they are not. They are all from here.
We have in Brasios a shelf in a passage which is called Clutter Park. And if I want something like a new coat or a hat or a chisel, I go and look in the Clutter Park, and it's a big plastic tray about 6 inches deep, full of things that people don't want. And I take it away and empty it all out and look carefully at all the items. And I destroy items which I know are no good to anybody. And I take items which I find very good for me. And I put in anything that I can spare. It stays there all the time, and it's nearly always full of junk. And it takes a wheelbarrow to take it somewhere where I can spread it out and count the bits and pieces. And actually, this is the equivalent of going to a shop and looking at a display and spending money, which is totally out of proportion to what the value, real value, is.
When I arrived here, I don't know if I told you this, I arrived with only like really, really small bag of clothes, because, and all, everything was summer. I didn't have any clothes from winter. I just come in from South America and then, you know, Florida, in the States. So, and I just, when people told me that there was this, I just went, I start to pick and make my new closet. And I because I don't like to wear the same clothes all the time, I don't know if you notice that I change a lot, even when I don't have, I just keep changing with the clothes. I just, sometimes I cut the you know, the t-shirts, or I cut the trousers, or I make new trousers, or I use them as a model if I like them. Yeah, I'm probably one of the person who use it more. Yeah. But I also like to see people with the same things that I'm wearing. For example, Richard is wearing, in the winter he was wearing a green jacket that I wear almost all the winter. And I was like, it looks good. You know, it's like the personality. Or sometimes you see people that you think it's somebody's jacket or something, but it's something really specific. And then you see it another person and it's like, yeah, I really like that you can see part of the people in other people.
This coat I was too shy to wear when I first got here. And then I don't know if I just wore it or somebody else wore it and then I felt permission to wear it. And then I realised that I just loved wearing it, so I just let go. And it's so cosy. And this, I didn't know that others were really into this coat also, so I started to meet other people who also love this coat. We got like this connection via the coat. And at one point somebody had been wearing it and they're like, this is the communal mindedness around these objects. So someone else had been wearing this coat, and then I think they were on their way in but back to their room and knew I was going out or something like that, but they came to me with the coat and said, just in case you want to wear the coat when you go out, which I did. So that was great.
But I think it's also with the material things. I think filled with the years, I just get like less attached and less attached and less attached. And I think people have, maybe what I learned in communities is like the generosity in the way that someone told me that if somebody look at you like and say, this is really beautiful, it already belonged to that person, so you should keep it from your heart because that person is like actually, you know. Happened to me in a couple of communities. I was looking at someone and said, this is really beautiful, and they just give it to me, and I was like, oh no, but it's yours, you know. And say, no, now it belongs to you, you know. And I tried to do the same many times when somebody said, like, genuinely, like, wow, this is really beautiful, like, just keep it, you know, take it with you, I have another one or something like that. Or try to make things for people. Because sometimes you really, really, really like someone that you made for yourself or it's a gift, so you shouldn't give it away. But you try to make something similar for the people when you see that how much they like them. So, yeah, I think that is something that I learned in communities like this. Just give things to people, and I like that.
I was talking earlier about nuns, and obviously even among sort of poor orders of nuns, because we've got, this didn't used to be the case, but because we've got modern ideas about hygiene, people wouldn't share their underwear or their toothbrush, for example. I don't know, that's a very hard question, because things could be almost anything. Would I share my boyfriend? Maybe. I think this was common among all religious orders. So because you weren't allowed to have property, you had to call the property our, so you had to talk about our mug. And, you know, anything, you know, our notebook, our pen. But the nuns used to push back somewhat, and this Sister of Jesus was telling me about one who used to say, my our pen and my our umbrella and so on. So, and clearly the spirit of everything being ours perhaps hadn't been absorbed as thoroughly as one might like, but that's okay because we're not saints yet.
Everything that I needed, I owned before, and that's not the case now. I've got stuff, but I own very little. The fact that I have no kitchenware here is, I wouldn't have lived easily if I didn't have that before. So I suppose, I think there's an aspect of needing less that happens when there's so much going on. There's some items that I know I will want that will be to do with recording music equipment. That's the first thing that I've really thought, oh, I want that. And we don't have that, but then you offer me to lend things, so it's like, so I think I'm still learning to allow that, because it's quite an edge for me to ask to borrow things. The idea that there's all between us all, we probably have got a lot of the things, so that's shifted massively. And I notice it really affects this kind of ambient sense of safety as well, that like there's an enoughness between all of us.
There is something about if we have our communal possessions, we have each other, we don't need as much materially, which sounds very mystical. But there is something about finding sufficiency in communal life rather than in the accretion of material goods.
Oh, look, you've got a mug now.
Yeah.
And why did you choose that mug?
I often choose this mug. It's straight-sided, which I think I prefer, and it's voluminous. And I'm not sure there's any that I actually like the design of, and I'm not sure I've ever actually really looked at it.
No, I wouldn't choose that. For design-wise, that's a gigantic failure.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radio.fm. Over and out.